The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Just as you know, today is February the 29th and it's a significant anniversary. Of what, you may ask? Well, 4 years ago on this day, the first case of COVID-19 was recorded in this country. We were calling it SARS-CoV-2 at the time. It became later christened COVID-19, but that announcement was made on this day, 4 years ago. It seems like more than a lifetime ago. Another significant anniversary, which has just passed, was last Saturday, which marked the 2-year anniversary of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Now, the country has been continuously appealing for assistance from the West to improve defences and to supply weapons. But as the war continues, what is the fate of Europe if Russia expands their land ambitions? Now, Chair of the Parliamentary Committee on Foreign Affairs and Defence and Fine Gael TD for Laois and Offaly, Charlie Flanagan, has recently returned from Kyiv, where he had discussions with fellow chairs of foreign affairs committees, and he's on the line now. Charlie Flanagan, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
What was your mission in Ukraine?
Well, this was to mark the second anniversary of the brutal invasion. It was the coming together of parliamentarians from across Europe, EU plus. We were meeting our counterparts, parliamentarians in Kyiv, under the Speaker. We met the Minister for Defence. We met a number of other ministers. We met representatives of civic society. And really what we did was gauge the mood 2 years later. And it's one of sobriety, somber, serious, while Ukrainians are defiant and resilient and courageous and brave. I was there last August, and I have to say that the mood in Kyiv now is far less optimistic than it was in August. I think people are tired. People are weary. I think politicians are frustrated. And that, of course, spills over to civil society insofar as while business is still ongoing and being transacted, restaurants, shops are open, they're well stocked, business is being done. It's obviously not business as usual. There are less sirens, less air raids because the air defense system is working well in the city. However, everywhere there are scars of missiles and drones. The university, for example, all the windows are blocked up and boarded. There's a hole in the roof. Similarly, some apartment blocks, office blocks, a reminder of the destruction. But people are getting on with it in a way that is showing continued courage and bravery. And of course, there are big asks for us in the West.
Now, we are a neutral country, whatever that means. I mean, in the Second World War, we were neutral on the side of the Allies kind of thing, although we did have the spectacle of at the end of the war, the De Valera condolences and so on. We'll park that one. But as a so-called neutral country, what was the ask from Ukraine?
Well, I think there's an understanding of the European Union, then countries outside the European Union like Norway and Britain and Canada and the US and I suppose industrialized nations coming together to help and assist the war effort. The ask of Ireland is a little different. Firstly, there's an acknowledgement of what we're doing in terms of the welcoming of, you know, almost 110,000 Ukrainian refugees here and treated well by the Irish state, and that's very much appreciated. As far as the military effort is concerned, there's an understanding that we don't supply lethal weaponry. We haven't got much in any event. But we are part of the European Peace Facility. We've committed €120 million towards that, and that's the supply of non-lethal military product. We're part of EU advisory mission. But I suppose the frustration that they're showing towards the West is Ukrainian politicians say that there's a lack of a sense of urgency, that there's an absence of a strategy, that the sanctions are weak and not functioning as they should. And of course, it's weapons, weapons, weapons. And I was struck by the constant demand for weaponry. I didn't go to the front, but I did have a call with soldiers on the front. And I did go to a recovery center, rehabilitation center, and saw firsthand amputees and heard their story. And that's pretty grim. And their request is for weapons and weapons and weapons, with particular reference to America. And of course, Ireland's influence in America, particularly with President Biden and our friends on the Hill, was important in that regard. But all that said, Pat, Ireland is at something of a crossroads. You mentioned at the outset, 4 years since COVID, and none of us predicted or expected what followed with COVID. I think similarly with security, that the February invasion by Russia was Europe's 9/11. And I think we in Ireland have got to realise that. And while, you know, we continue to show steadfast support for Ukraine, this is a massive challenge for Europe. And I think it's one that we in Ireland can't ignore in terms of our position regarding defence and security. I mean, I'm a practicing politician here in Laois Offaly. I consult with my electorate. You know, I hear housing, health, immigration. I don't hear security and defence, but I do want to hear it because I think it's a big issue. And I think it's an issue that, while perhaps not for this government as it's, you know, entering its last 12 months or maybe less, but certainly in the context of the next election, we're going to have to look at defence. Why, for example, don't we have a standalone Minister for Defence? We haven't had one for over 10 years. We hear Ursula von der Leyen talking about a Commissioner for Defence. Opposition, I hear, towards that coming from Ireland. But we're not really at the races when it comes to defence. And that's not to do with our neutrality. It's due to the fact that we have an inability to defend ourselves in challenging times. And 10 years ago, we didn't have this question of, you know, are we able to defend ourselves? Because it was felt that there was no need, that, you know, our allies and friends from both sides of the Atlantic would come to our aid.
Do you believe, therefore,
not necessarily the case now.
Should we be thinking about NATO? I mean, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, that's what it stands for. We're here in the North Atlantic. We are sandwiched between the island of Britain and the United States and Canada. We are a vulnerability, I suppose, given that we can't defend our own waters or our own airspace. Is it time for us to change tack, like Finland, like Sweden, and join NATO?
Well, I accept the fact that Irish people have no appetite for joining NATO. But the question you ask me is, should we be thinking about it? And I think we should be thinking certainly about our defence. The fact that, for example, our nearest neighbours, Britain, spends more on defence than any other EU state, that Norway, you know, not known for its military prowess, it shares a border with Russia. There's anxiety there. We've seen the speed with which Sweden and Finland, obviously they're closer to Russia, they're a greater threat than us, but we've seen the speed with which they ramped up and changed their defence policy. We've seen the way every country in Europe has ramped up and changed its defence policy. And Ireland is in a position of vulnerability.
Are we a bit hypocritical? You know, you mentioned we have influence in the United States. The very idea that a neutral country would be going over to the White House on St. Patrick's Day and egging Joe Biden on to supply the arms to Ukraine that we, in however small a way, are not prepared to do?
Absolutely. And I agree with that. And I don't think Leo Varadkar is going to do that. But this was an issue that was on the table for discussion in Ukraine. And I dealt with it on the basis of our neutrality. And I very much value our neutrality. But I think that notwithstanding.
So what purpose does that
serve? We do need to look at our defence.
You say you value our neutrality. What purpose does it serve? I mean, it didn't do us a lot of good on the Security Council when we were there. The Security Council is dominated by those with the veto. So what is the impact of a small neutral voice?
Well, I think what we're doing is looking at more security and defence from within Europe. And I think the big challenge that Europe has at the moment is, can Europe defend itself without US support? And there's uncertainty regarding American continued engagement with NATO. We don't know what's going to happen in the November election, but we do know what Donald Trump has said. We do know that Russia is more threatening and has threatened more than just Ukraine. It has threatened the Baltics. There are vulnerabilities in Moldova and the Baltics being members of the European Union. So we know that Europe is less prepared. So Ireland is not even in that debate other than...
So should we join a European army?
An EU army?
We're a member of the EU. You are concerned about our security, our ability to defend ourselves. So you don't want NATO. What about an EU army? What's the issue there?
I don't think we're going to join an EU army because Ireland is a neutral state. I accept what's in the programme for government about military international organisations, an EU army obviously being one of them. I accept a constitutional and legal difficulty. But what I'm saying is that we really should be discussing these things. For example, we have supplied and provided 90 million towards a stabilisation and humanitarian fund in Ukraine. That is very well accepted and appreciated. We're part of the European Peace Facility. We're part of PESCO. We have a number of protocols with NATO, and I have no doubt that we're going to have to think seriously about further protocols with NATO as we strive to protect our undersea cable infrastructure. We've had access to NATO intelligence. We have been a partner nation with NATO since 1999. We're part of the Partnership for Peace. Mm. There are several areas of cooperation, particularly in the area.
Basically, what you're saying is that we're doing all this stuff, but our neutrality is a fig leaf. That's all. If we're in trouble, who's going to help us? Is China going to help us? Is North Korea going to help us? We depend on the United States to help us. We depend on Britain to help us. For example, the Russian subs were prowling around our undersea cables, we would be depending on American or British or French submarines to kind of shoo them away.
Exactly. And we are part of the European Union. And I take the view, and I've always done so since we joined the European Union, that any club worth joining is worth defending. But this is an issue in terms of a debate, Pat, that we haven't had as an Irish, as an Irish society. But I believe the circumstances have now changed. All has changed utterly since the invasion by Russia of Ukraine. And I don't think that Ireland can continue to be an outlier. And I think that we need to engage around the table with our EU colleagues about that changing landscape and what we're going to do as Russia becomes more threatening and our democratic values come, under real question and threat.
Yeah. Putin, as we speak, is addressing the Russian parliament. We'll find out what he's had to say for himself in a little while. What does Charlie Flanagan have to say about our own defence as a texter and its continued decline? Ignore our own troops' complaints, par for the course, but our European partners have called us out on it only this week past. He and the Taoiseach speak of air defence and assisting Ukraine with it. What about our own, or more importantly, the lack of it? All we can supply for Ukraine is words, words, words. Something that our politicians are adept at. That's from Glenn. Can you ask Charlie whether he's any thoughts on defence in the light of the war in Ukraine and the RAF agreement with Ireland, as he was a former minister with knowledge of it? We're defenceless.
Yeah, I think there are certain protocols with the UK that we enjoy and it's important that we have, again, in the context of European defence. I accept that the Department of Defence is being ramped up under recent times with a greater level of investment. But if you look at EU spending on defence, and people are talking about a 2% GDP across the board, Ireland spends 0.29%.
But Charlie, you swear GDP. You were never in government the way
change.
You're talking. You swear you were never in government.
No.
Listening to you.
It's a question of priorities, Pat. And these priorities are now changing. I said, for example, at the outset that we don't have a standalone Minister for Defence. I believe we should have one. In 2011, we brought in a specific standalone Minister for Children because of specific crises and needs that were needed in terms of the law reform of children. I think for the next election, after the next election, whatever shape the government is, that we should have a standalone Minister for Defence and that we should look in great detail at the report of the Independent Commission on the Future of Defence Forces, which Micheál Martin, as Minister of Defence, has set out a path for recommendations that would increase and beef up our armed forces so as to allow us play a greater role in the defence of our own country.
I'll just remind you of what Ursula von der Leyen has said, the European Commission President. The European Union must urgently wake up to a growing security threat. The cost of insecurity, the cost of a Russian victory, is far greater than any saving we could make now. She said she wanted to push to prioritise joint defence procurements to reassure Europe's defence industry that it will be able to find buyers for its increased production, to ensure it has sufficient quantity of material and the technological superiority that we may need in the future. That means turbocharging our defence industrial capacity in the next 5 years. She said that yesterday. So it looks like the EU is gung-ho to beef up defence production.
Well, I wouldn't say gung-ho, Pat, but what I would say is that Europe needs to be in a position to defend itself, having regard to the current uncertainties, having regard to the fact that Donald Trump has said that if he becomes president, that his relationship with NATO will not be as is at the moment. So I think the question is, will the European Union have sufficient capacity to defend itself from Putin without America?
We're certainly,
I'm not saying it's going to happen.
We're certainly not defending ourselves. Another WhatsApp, NATO would not take Ireland. We're nowhere near capable of joining them.
And that's very true, but I'm not advocating that.
A 10 to 15 year project. Ask Charlie Flanagan why nobody has mentioned peace talks. All contributors seem to constantly talk of the need for funding from other countries for weapons and equipment for Ukraine. Does nobody want to sit down and talk this out? Very unusual. Only talking will end this war. That's from Al in Dublin.
Well, I'd say to Alan, the first one round the table should be President Putin. And he has shown absolutely no intention of suing for peace. And even if he were, he's not to be believed, given his statements.
Yulia Navalnaya yesterday, the widow of Alexei Navalny, said that he was not to be trusted, that he's the head of a criminal enterprise and that no one can trust him at all. So talking with him doesn't make any sense. A final one. For all our noble guff about valuing Irish neutrality, the truth is that it's an historical accident of geography, nothing more, nothing less. It's useful to have some neutral countries in the world to help others resolve disputes, but that is it, and perhaps worth maintaining because of that alone. But stop with this ridiculous noble idea that we're above it all. We just got lucky for a long time, but maybe that time is up.
Yeah, I think there's something in that. But that's why I believe that defence should be a matter of public discourse in a way that it isn't. We had, for example, the series of public forums last year under Professor Louise Richardson, which many people, before it even started, attempted to shut down. I don't believe that we can stick our heads in the sand. I'm not advocating military alliances, but what I am advocating is, a Department of Defence and structures within our own jurisdiction that will allow us, do a little more than we're
Charlie,
doing at the moment. And I'm satisfied that
you're advocating
happening.
That, but you're shuffling off the pitch. You're standing down. So, I mean,
it's jaw.
It's better than war. That's what Churchill said. Anyway, on that note, Charlie Flanagan, we will leave you there. Thank you very much for reporting on the mood in Ukraine.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.